Good morning. It is great to see you this morning. We have a great God, don't we? We can get to enjoy forgiveness, and He invites us in. What an incredible God, and it's been great to sing His praises today, and I'm so glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. Well, today is Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if you have any plans or if you even knew that, but if you didn't, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and I had somebody send me this message this week, and I wanted to pass it on. It said this, quote, "You should be as excited about church as you are about the Super Bowl. So when your pastor makes a point this Sunday, pour Gatorade all over his head." Please don't do that, all right? I'm glad you still chose to worship with us today, and it's a lot of fun. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, and then we're going to be going over, in just a moment, we're going to be going over to the book of Daniel as well. We are in a series, and the series has been entitled Questions. It's new and improved, asking better questions to improve your life. And as we've walked through this, we've talked about several different areas in our lives and said, what would happen? What would happen is if we started asking better questions in different aspects of our life? And not just asking, is this okay? And not just asking, how close to the edge can I get without sinning? And not just staying in the gray area, but backing up and saying, okay, what is the wisest thing for me to do? And how do I need to ask better questions so that I don't end up hurting myself? Many of us, if we would just take a few moments to look back, is at some of the greatest regrets that we have. If we would have just asked better questions, it would have changed our world, wouldn't it? It would change the consequences that we're having to deal with right now, is if we would have asked better questions and really walked through this in a different way. So here's what we have to do. We have talked about questions. We've talked about different aspects of our life. And now, in order to wrap up the series, then I need to add one more part of the equation. Because we can ask great questions. Let's just say we started asking all the right questions. And if we don't add this next part, then we still get the wrong answers. Here's the next part of the equation. So we have to ask the right questions, but watch. Plus, we need to ask the right people in order to get the right answers. Does that make sense? So it's the right questions plus the right people in order to get the right answers. Now, let me give you a little joke to help illustrate the story, this idea. It's like the dad and his son, who's his young son, who are out and they're driving around. And as they're driving around, the son asks questions. You know, little kids like to ask a lot of questions like, why? And so if you've ever been around a little kid, that's exactly what was happening this day. The son was asking, "Dad, why is the sky blue?" "Well, I don't know, son." "Dad, why is the grass green?" "Well, I don't know, son." "Why is the lake blue?" "Well, I don't know, son." "Dad, why is the sun yellow? "Well, I don't know, son." "Dad, are you tired of me asking questions?" "Well, no, son. How else are you going to learn anything?" Asking the right questions to the wrong person equals the wrong answer. Does that make sense? So what we have to do is this, is we need to learn how to ask the right questions to the right people so that we get the right answers. I believe that you're here today, that I believe you want to make good choices. I think that's just part of who we are. There's nobody who wakes up in the morning and says, "Man, I just can't wait to be a failure." There's nobody who says, "I can't wait to screw up my kids." Nobody thinks of being a parent. Nobody sits around and says, "You know what? I just want to make dumb decisions. That's what I want to do all week." We don't start off that way. We don't want that. So I believe at the core of who you are is you're wanting to make right choices. But what happens is this, is we get in this habit of not even really asking questions, and hopefully we started breaking that idea, is that you started asking right questions. Well, now as we start asking the right questions, what's the wisest thing for me to do, and not just trying to get to the edge and saying, okay, how close can I get to sin without sinning, but to start asking the question, saying, what do I need to do in all of my life? How do I make wise choices? Now we need to add this last part, and this last part is about hanging out with wise people. Hanging out with wise people. Proverbs chapter 13, let me give you the principle out of Proverbs chapter 13. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 13, let's go down to verse 20. It's a very simple verse. Here's what the Bible says. Whoever walks with the wise becomes, what's it say? Okay, let's say that again. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companions of fool will suffer harm. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. What an incredible day to worship, to sing praise to you, to just to celebrate that you are the God of the impossible, that God, you heal, that you hear our prayers. God, what just an incredible thought that you would actually hear our prayers. Who are we that you would be mindful of us? And so, God, we're just amazed at who you are and that you would care about us. It has been good to sing praises. And now as we come to this moment, God, I'm just asking. The preparation has been done, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint the delivery of this message. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and work in our hearts and lives right now. Remove distractions. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in such a way that you would open our ears so that, God, we would hear from you. That's why we came. We want to hear from you. And then, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the courage to apply it to our lives so that we walk out of here a different and a changed people. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, so here's what we have. We have a very simple principle. You want to be wise? Guys, here's the deal. You know this. It goes within our culture. Maybe even when you were growing up, your mom even said something like this, birds of a feather flock together. You've heard it. We know the idea. We know the concepts. We know the concept of hanging out with wise people. Hey, that's what I want to be. And the Bible even gives us this challenge that if you hang out with people who are not making good decisions, you hang out with fools, then eventually what's going to happen is you're going to begin to have harm come upon your life. It's just what it is. You know it. You've heard it. But the challenge is this. We get in our ruts, don't we? We just say, you know what? But I like them. But they're fun to hang out with. And we start making decisions based on just people we like and people who agree with us. And so what we need to do is we need to gain some principle and gain some insight. So I would like to show you a man who is not necessarily a believer, but he makes some wise choices. And I'm going to give you five principles. I think you should write these down. I think it will be very helpful for you. On if you want to make wise choices, how do you hang out with wise people? And how do you know you're hanging out with wise people? And I want to show you out of the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at this point, he's not saved. At this point, he's not trusting God. But he's considered, I would say, in my mind, just a wise person by how he conducts business in Daniel chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, go over to Daniel 2. We'll also be putting these things up on the screen for you. But I want to show you these five things that you can put into your life right now. Now, because it's a biblical principle, you don't have to be saved in order to actually apply these to your life. That's why I'm using Nebuchadnezzar. Because I want to show you that even if you don't necessarily believe that there's a God, if you put this principle into play, it begins to change your life. Does it make sense? Now, if you add God to the equation, then it just multiplies the benefits. So Nebuchadnezzar, here's what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of, do you remember? Babylon. He's the king of Babylon. He's come over several years earlier. In Daniel chapter 1, we learned that he came over and he conquered Jerusalem. And in conquering Jerusalem, he wiped out a lot of people. He killed a lot of people. In the process, he also took a lot of young men and ladies back to Babylon with him. And in that process, he took a few people that we're kind of famous for, Daniel, whose name is on the book that we're looking at. And then he had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 1, Daniel does something very interesting. He's a young man. He would be in his early teens. And he purposes in his heart that he's going to actually live for God. Now, let me just challenge our teenagers and let me just challenge our college students. This is a fascinating thing because Daniel has lost his parents. He's lost all accountability, lost all authorities in his life, telling him that he should do what's right. And Daniel still makes the choice and says, it's not about my family. It's not about my parents telling me what to do. It's about me making the choice for myself. And especially as a college student, high school students, middle school students, as you start getting away from your parents more and more, the reality is this, your faith needs to be yours and not your parents. Does that make sense? You're going to have to make the choice of whether you follow God or not. And Daniel does something strange. He says, in a new land where I have all this freedom to do and become whatever I want to be, I am going to follow God. And he makes a choice to follow God. And as he makes that choice, in Daniel chapter 2, we begin to see that Daniel's moving into the realm of the wise counsel. So here's what happens. Daniel chapter 2, let's look at it. If you have your Bibles, turn over there. We're going to look at most of this chapter, and I'm going to give you five things out of this. You ready? It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dream. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Now, this is not the dream like Martin Luther, like I have a dream and I see a vision of something new. This is the king having a dream, and it's troubled him so much that he said, I'm not sure what it's going to look like. I don't know what it is, but I know there's something important to this. Does that make sense? So he has something that he needs to say, and he needs somebody to help him out. So he calls all the wise people in the county or in the country. They usually stand in his court, and he says, I want you to come in, and I want you to share with me and tell me what you need to hear or what I need to hear. Now, these people are from all different nationalities, from all different countries, backgrounds. They know a lot of different languages. They know sorcery. They know astrology. They study the stars, to actually fortune tellers, if you will. They also know math and science. They know there's a lot of wisdom with these guys. They've stood in other kings' courts, and he's brought them in. And as he's brought them in, what he has done is this. There's a lot of wisdom. So he says, here's my dream, but I'm not going to tell you the whole dream. I'm just going to tell you I had a dream. And here's what I need to know. I need to know what to do with it. So here's your first principle. You ready? Wise people know when they don't know. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? It almost sounds too simple. You're like, really? Are we starting there? Yes, we're starting there. Wise people know. So here's what King Nebuchadnezzar does. He acknowledges that he has a dream and he doesn't know what it's about. Here's where it begins to, the rubber meets the road for us. Many times, we begin to think that we have to know all the answers. And especially as we start getting older. And you get into leadership positions. There are points and times when you feel like you have to be the wisest person in the room. And here's what's interesting. The king, who had all authority, all power, he recognized the fact that he didn't know what he didn't know. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But wisdom always requires humility. Always. And so here's what happens. He has to sit around and say, you know what, guys? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to admit that I don't know. What would happen in your life if you would have just stepped back and said, you know what? I just need to ask better questions. I need to say I don't know. Now, we're really good when we like certain things, but have you ever been around somebody who knows everything about everything? And no matter what the topic is, no matter what the scenario is, every time you talk to them, you're going, seriously, you're an expert in that too? And you got a story about that? Really? Yeah, this one time, this is what I did. Really? Okay, let's talk about NASA. Oh, yeah, you know, I went to NASA. I mean, they always have something for everything, right? And here's where, if you want to be wise, yes, we want to ask the right questions. There are times when you need to be able to step back and say, I don't know. Now let's practice. You ready? I want you to say, I don't know. Ready? One, two, three. I don't know. Say it again. One, two, three. I don't know. Say it out loud. One, two, three. I don't know. Very good. Now the person next to you is going, wow, I've never heard you say that, but that's okay. I don't know. These three words. Then what it does is it forces you, when you say, I don't know, it forces you to have to ask others for help, to ask questions. Do you see what happens? When you know everything, you don't ask questions. But when you don't know, you begin to ask questions. And so the king starts the process. He says, guys, I don't know. So all the magicians and all these wise men, they come into the king and say, hey, king, no problem. You tell us your dream. You tell us what you saw. And we'll give you the interpretation. And the king's going, I don't think so. I'm not going to tell you the dream because I think you're planning to deceive me. So here's how I know if you deceive me or not. If you can tell me the dream, then I know you can actually tell me the interpretation. Now, my kids tell me about their dreams. But guess what? They're always so crazy. There's no way I could tell what happened in their mind, right? There's no way. And the wise men say, hey, king, you're crazy. There's no way. There's nobody on earth who can tell you the dream. So just tell us the dream. And the king says, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Here's the second principle. You ready? Wise people know when they are hearing wise counsel and when they're hearing negative counsel. Let me read it to you. Ready? Go down to verse 6. But here's what the king says. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered the king a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time because you see that my word is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times changes. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation. Show me the dream. Tell me what it is. Wise men and wise women, they know when they're actually not being told the truth. They know when it's wise counsel and when it's not. Now, here's what we typically like to do. The way we usually run the grid and say, okay, they're telling me wise things. Listen, you ready? Is if we agree with it or not. You understand what I'm saying? We say, ah, you are really wise. You're saying what I'm saying. Great. So here's what I want to help make sure we can get a grid. How do you know if you're actually hearing wise counsel or not? Let me give you a couple things. Ready? Number one, it needs to pass the scripture test. It's simple, isn't it? But it's amazing how many Christians, will begin to say, you know what? I believe I need to do this. And I've even heard Christians say, I know that God's telling me to do this. And you're going, time out. It violates the scripture. That doesn't work. So there's no way that God can tell you that. Are you following this? But here's what happens. Satan's an angel of light, and he always masquerades it as an angel of light. And he can deceive us. And our hearts are deceitful so much so that we go looking for wise counsel that fits what we're thinking and what we want to do. So I want to challenge you. How do you know that you're listening to wise counsel? First of all, it must start with, does it line up with Scripture? Number two, it goes back to the question that we've been asking for the last couple of weeks. What's the wise thing for me to do? Not just is it right or wrong, that's answered by the first one. But is this the wise thing for me to do? Does that make sense? Because there's some areas in the Bible that are not necessarily mentioned. Can I go smoke pot? Well, it doesn't really say that in Scripture, right? So now it comes down to the wise thing for me to do. And you have to start looking through, is this smart? Am I going to make better decisions when I'm smoking pot? Does it make sense? You have to ask the questions. And so as you ask the questions, you begin to walk through this and say, okay, maybe this is not wise counsel. Number three, are other wise people confirming or negating the counsel and what I'm looking to do? Are other wise people? So Nebuchadnezzar does an incredible job. He says, okay, guys, this is what I want. I'm wanting you to tell me the dream. He knows that they're trying to deceive him, trying to just get more time. So he says, okay, I need you to answer. I can't answer. So he says, okay, kill everyone. This is probably where Nebuchadnezzar's not making a good decision. Okay, so he's just going to wipe everybody out. So I'm not saying he's pristine in following his example. We're just trying to learn from him. So he gets mad, he gets angry, he's going to kill everyone now. So the sentence goes out, let's kill all the wise people. I think that's probably not a very good move, but he's done with everybody because they're not giving him what he wants. So it goes out, the decree goes out, and so they get to Daniel's house. Verse 14, Daniel was not in the king's court. Daniel obviously was a lower level of the wise men, so he's not standing in the king's court all the time. So he's a lower level guy. He's probably in his early 20s at this time. He's not real old. So he's not getting to fully be in the king's court all the time, but he's still part of the wise council, the wise men group. And so since the king says kill everyone, it includes Daniel. So here's what happens, verse 14. It says, then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. So some of the wise men have already been killed, right? So he's killed several of them, and he comes to Daniel's house, and it's now time to kill Daniel. Verse 15. And he declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Now let me show you something else. Here's the third point. Wise men and women, they know, they're humble enough to recognize that wisdom can come from unlikely sources. Our temptation is this. Our temptation is to only accept wisdom and only accept counsel from somebody who is at least at our level of success or higher. Did you catch that? But rarely do we want to ask somebody or listen to counsel from somebody who's lower than us or who we perceive as lower. But how have you ever had the moment where God uses a child to speak to you? And it just blows you away and you're going, oh yeah. See, Daniel comes in to the king's court. He has the permission because he's part of the wisdom of the wise council. But he's really not at the higher level. And Nebuchadnezzar does something strange. He listens. Did you catch that? He listens to Daniel and he says, Daniel says, hey, king, I can tell you something. I can give me a little time, and I think I can tell you the dream and the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar was humble enough to recognize that wisdom can come from an unlikely source. You know, God can speak in any way he wants, and he can use anybody he chooses. And most of the time, we go finding people who will tell us what we want to hear, and we exclude everyone else. And what I'm telling you is that God likes to use people who are unlikely. And if you're going to be wise, if you're going to hang out with wise people, you need to be wise enough to understand that God might use someone that you never expected to speak into your life. Ready? Hanging with the wise. So Daniel goes to his friends. He says, okay, boys, we got a problem. One, we don't know the dream, and two, we don't know the interpretation. So he asked his friends. He says, guys, let's have an all-night prayer vigil. Let's just start praying. Let's ask God. And I find it fascinating that Daniel's in his early 20s, and yet he's already relying on God in such an incredible way. Wouldn't it be awesome to have some 20-year-olds who would say, you know what, God, no matter what happens, we're going to trust you, and God, we're ready for you to show up. No matter what happens. See, Daniel had such huge faith in God that God could actually tell him the dream. What would that look like if we had some teenagers in some early 20s? What would it look like if we had some 30s and 40s and 50s, 60s, 70, 80-year-olds who actually believed that God could show up and do something amazing? See, our faith goes just as far enough as we can see. And once we can't see it anymore, that's where we struggle with our faith, isn't it? But faith is saying, God, I can trust you even when I don't understand what's going to happen. And so Daniel says, I just stuck my foot out. I just stepped out on a ledge. I don't know if God's going to answer, but I believe he can. And so Daniel starts praying. His friends start praying. They're saying, God, here it is. So God begins to reveal the dream and the interpretation. So now they come back in front of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's beginning to talk to him, and he's beginning to share what he's heard. So we're going to come to our next principle. You ready? Go down to verse 27. Verse 27, Daniel answers the king and says, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Now, here's your principle. You ready? Wise people, they're willing to listen when they don't agree with the information. They're willing to listen and actually listen, and not just appease, but they're willing to listen when they don't agree with the information. Here's what Daniel does. He comes into the king and says, hey, king, what you asked was really dumb. Nobody else can answer that. That's not a good way to start off with the king. Are you following this? King, you asked for something that's impossible, so nobody can do it. And then he says this, but there's a God in heaven. Now, you and I recognize that. That's easy. That's good. We agree. Yes, there's a God in heaven. But who is he talking to? He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, who believed that there were multiple gods, but he did not believe that there was one true God. Does that make sense? He doesn't believe that there's just one true God. And Daniel, here is Daniel, who's young, who says, that was a bad request. And two, there's a God in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar believed that he was part of the gods. And so Daniel's making an appeal to someone higher than the king. And the king's going, I believe that there's multiple gods. And here's what could have happened. Daniel could have been shut down right there. The king didn't have to listen any further. You following this? He could have shut it down and said, I don't like what you're saying. I disagree with you. Get out of here. Off with your head, right? I mean, kind of like Alice in Wonderland, the Queen of Hearts. Just off with their head. He could have done whatever he wanted. But here we are. The king was wise enough to say, well, I'm not sure I agree with this, but keep talking. Now, let's be honest. How often do you allow people to talk to you when you disagree with them? Usually you give them just a moment, and then it's over, right? Or you guilt them into saying, you know what, you obviously just don't know my situation. And we try to get our friends to come on board with us on whatever we're thinking. And I want to encourage you, one of the greatest things that you can do, if you really want to be wise, is to actually listen to the criticism. Watch. Because decisions that you make behind closed doors will eventually come in front of everyone else, and it will be public. Did you catch that? The decisions that you are making in your private will become public knowledge at some point. And then everybody will criticize and critique what you're doing anyway. So it's better to actually get out in front of it and listen to people who disagree with you. But this is what we fail to do quite often. We don't really seek wise counsel. We only seek people to tell us what we want to hear. And I want to challenge you, wise people, hanging with wise people, they are willing to listen even when they disagree with the very beginning premise. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar, he listens. And Daniel then begins to tell the dream. Here's the dream, and now here's the interpretation. Here's the dream, here's the interpretation. The king listens, and he's kind of amazed because he knows he asked for a hard thing. So let's go over, and let me give you the last principle here. Go over to the end of the chapter. The end of the chapter here in chapter 2. Go down to verse 46, and here's what happens. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel, commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. And the king answered and said to Daniel, truly, your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. The king, who was an unbeliever, says, there's something different about who your God is. There's something different. I don't understand it. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but I know that your God is bigger than all the other gods that I've interacted with. That's a huge statement, isn't it? It's a huge statement. And then what he does is this. He blesses Daniel, raises Daniel up into the upper level, the upper league of all the wise men. He begins to get into power and position because the king says, this is a guy I want because the gods are with him, or the one true God is with him. The God he's claiming, obviously he has some validity. There's something up real about him. I need to move him up. And so he moves him up. And the first act that Daniel does is he brings his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He brings them up because he knows he needs other wise people around him. So here's the last point. You ready? Wise people, they reach their full potential. They reach their full potential because they hang out and they listen to other wise people. See, here's what I know. I know that God's designed you for a purpose, and I know that God has great things for you. I know that. And he had plans for you from the time that you were created in your mom's womb. That's amazing. And he wants to do something with your life and through your life. And the only way you actually get to see God's purpose come to pass is when you begin to listen to wise people. And that you're humble enough to walk through the principles that we just learned. And so for some of us we've done pretty well. Some of us we haven't done so well. And then others of us, we're sitting here going, well, I guess I screwed up. I don't know if I can go in any further. And here's what I want to tell you. From here on, from this moment on, let's make wise decisions. Let's get wise people around us and not listen to just those we want to. And from this moment on, you see, God has a plan and God has a purpose and God is wanting to do something through your life this year. And where it's going to start is when you start asking the right questions to the right people. And when you do that, it allows God to begin to work through you like never before. Some of you are going, okay, I get it. Good. Let me ask you this. Have you made the greatest decision in your life? The greatest decision in your life is this. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's what I can, you can take this principle and you can work with it and go for it. But here's what I know. God, the creator of the universe, the God who gives you life, gives you breath, who causes your heart to beat, he's designed you not to live life apart from him, but he's designed you to live life with him. And he wants to walk with you every day and give you insight and give you guidance and be a part of your life. And so here's the invitation. What have you done with Jesus? It's the greatest question you'll ever be asked. What have you done with Jesus? Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? If you haven't, then God offers to you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, He offers you grace and forgiveness. He says, come on. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you will be what? Saved. What an incredible offer. You don't have to be good enough. You can't be good enough. You can't ever make it on your own. You don't have to even join this church. Hello? All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want salvation. I want to be forgiven. I want to walk with you. I want to be right with you. And Jesus says, you give your life to me, and I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you, and I will walk with you. Maybe some of you need to do that today. It's so simple that a child can do it. Admit that you've been that you're a sinner, that you're apart from God. Believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again to pay for your sins. And then you just confess Him as your leader, your Savior. And say, God, I'm ready. I want to walk with you. I'll give you my life. There's others who we've given our lives to Christ. And now here's where we're at. How about we do this? How about we ask God to give us wisdom? To help put the right people around us. To help us ask the right questions. So that we bring Him glory this next week, this next month, and throughout this year. If you've made mistakes, you've failed. The invitation is to bring it to the cross. Ask for forgiveness. Leave it there and let God redeem your story. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We love you. And we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for how you're working. And God, we give you all the praise and glory. Help us to make the right choices. Ask the right questions to the right people so that we make the right choices. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.